Okay, everybody. Good afternoon. Today is March 15th, 2017, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly lunch and learn. And this week, Parshat Ki Tisa, we will discuss the topic, as you see on the source sheet, why break the Luchot? Why did Moshe break the Ten Commandments when he came down from Har Sinai? And was it a good thing or was it not a good thing? Also, one of the first thing we should do to start is to clarify that there is a tradition out there which is popularized by Monty Python that there were three tablets, right? And that Moshe had 15 commandments and dropped one on the way down and oops. Ten Commandments. I just want to make it clear that that is not part of the traditional understanding of what happened at Sinai. He did drop the tablets, but he dropped just two, not one.
Did he drop them?
All right. So here we go. So first, we have the text here of the events on page one. I guess you don't need the Tanakh today. I put the actual text on the source sheet. And, hi, Sandra Morgan. She said hi to me. Hi back. So we have the text here that Moshe, right, is up on Har Sinai, and the Jews are concerned that Moshe is not coming down. Where is he? What's going on? Who's going to take care of us? All sorts of different explanations as to why the Jews built the calf. That's not what we're talking about. Right, we're talking about Moshe's reaction to it, so you see, God wants to destroy the Jewish people, on the bottom of page one, where we're in verse 15, pasuk tedvav vayifen vayered Moshe min ahar ushnei luchot ha'idut biado, and thereupon Moses turned and went down from the mountain bearing the two tablets of the pact, right, of the covenant. With Bnei Yisrael, Ketuvim Mishnei Evarehem, tablets inscribed on both their surfaces. They were inscribed on the one side and on the other side. V'haluchot Maaseh Elokim Hema. These tablets were the work of God. Hu Charut Al Haluchot, and the writing was God's writing, incised or inscribed on the tablets. So the reason I brought you these psukim is because really the question is, I think, how could Moshe have done this? Right? These were written by God. Right? These were luchot which were written by God, as the pasuk says. Moshe did not have a hand in writing these luchot. We're in the packet. If you want to know where we are, we're now going to be on page two, source number two in a minute. How could it be, right, that Moshe decides on his own that he's going to break the Luchot, right? It's the equivalent of, you know, someone, you know, a rabbi seeing the congregation acting poorly, and he takes a Sefer Torah out of the ark, and he throws it onto the ground, right, in anger. Right? That would be a big scandal, right? The rabbi would probably be looking for a new job. Yeah. Right? So how could, and that's written by a human being, right? The Torah scrolls, those are written by a human being. Here we have the Luchot, which were the first set of Luchot, right? Which were, it says in Hebrew, black on white, right? V'haluchot ma'asei Elokim Hema. The tablets were God's work, right? V'hamichtav michtav Elokim Hu. And the writing was God's writing. Right, so how could it be? What gave Moshe the right to do that? So I want to go through a number of different approaches to try to answer this question. Okay? So the first approach is by the Rashbam. And well, let's read it, and then I'll hear your reaction. Okay? Rashbam on our verse, chapter 32, verse number 19, a little bit later, where it says actually that Moshe actually, it's probably a good idea for us just to look at the pasuk. If you want to just quickly grab a Tanakh, because the actual language is going to be important. So very quickly, let's all turn to page 184. And page 184, verse 19. Vayikasher karav el hamachane, vayar et ha'egel u'micholot. And so Moses came near the camp, and he saw the calf and the dancing. Vayichar af Moshe, and Moshe became angry. Vayashlech miyadav et haluchot, and he hurled the tablets from his hands. I like that translation. He hurled them from his hands. Right? The, I don't know if Charlton Heston did justice, right? So you can almost picture like Moshe like lifting them up, right? And just like hurling them like an Olympic event as far as he can and smashing them, right? So that's the language. Now let's read the Rashbam now with that in mind, with that image in mind. Let's read the Rashbam. The Rashbam on Exodus 32:19. Where we read Vayashlech miyadav, kisheraa et haegel, when Moshe saw the golden calf, tashash kocho, he became physically too weak, v'lo haya bo koach, and he no longer had strength. V'hishlicham rachok mimenu ktsat, and he threw the tablets a little bit away from him, shelo yazik et raglav, just so they wouldn't fall on his toes.
Excuse me, you just said as little, and here it says as far as possible.
I'm translating myself, because that's what it means. Ktsat means a little bit, or as far as necessary, right? Shelo yazik et raglav binaflam, so they wouldn't fall on his feet when they fell. Kederech kol mashlichei masa'ui, you're carrying something, like anyone's carrying something. You realize you're about to drop it, and so you make a move, like you fling it ahead a little bit, just so it doesn't land on your toes. And this is what I've seen in the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, and this is the simple, the plain, the straightforward meaning of the verse. So what's going on here?
So shocked that he forgot what he was carrying. He threw his arms up in the air to express his horror, and they dropped.
That's a beautiful interpretation, but that's not what the Rashbam says. Let's understand what the Rashbam says.
He didn't mean to really do that.
Right.
It just happened.
Exactly. He had this notion of he hurled them, and he purposely threw them down. According to the Rashbam, that's not what happened. He got he was physically too weak to hold them anymore. He saw the egel. He had no intention out of anger to throw them. He just got so upset that he lost his physical strength. And he just, you know, jumped back a little bit and moved them ahead. Right? There's nothing here of that high drama of Moshe making a big sight of picking up the luchot and throwing them in anger, right, as far as he can.
Maybe he was just so weak. He was falling and he just...
Right. Right, but it's, as opposed to what's the challenge of this commentary, though?
First of all, it says he got angry. Ha'af Moshe.
Right, right, and
that's
it also said right.
And number two,
even so,
the word vayishaber, you could read it as vayishbor. He broke them. Vayishaber is intensive. It means he smashed them. He shattered them to pieces. That's binyan piel. And they did, but we don't read it Vayishbor, and he broke them. We read it Vayishaber, he smashed them to pieces.
Right.
So number one, it says he got angry.
Right.
And number two, it wasn't just, oh, I dropped them.
Right.
He smashed
Right. So
them.
The Rashbam, even though the Rashbam, who normally is the one who is most connected to Pshat, he's one of the commentaries who just looks at the Pasuk and tells us what it says, very simply. Here, it seems that the Rashbam is going out of his way to say Moshe didn't break the luchot, he dropped them. There's a huge difference between dropping something and breaking something, right? For if you were moving your friend's television, right? And as you're moving out of his house, he says something that upsets you, and you throw it on the floor. You owe him a television. But if you're helping him move and you drop the television, okay, that's the way it goes,
yeah,
right?
Just like what Dov said, that he got so angry. So when somebody gets angry, he really loses his mind. He doesn't know what he's doing, so it supports...
But that's not what the Rashbam says. The Rashbam says he doesn't get... The Rashbam has nothing about his anger. He just got physically weak because he saw what was in front of him. By the way, we have a comment from Facebook from Sandra Morgan. She says... I think this is a man who just went through Exodus and desert and facing, I'm not sure what HD means, and I have to translate for me, Sandra, to find this people must have been morally exhausting. Right? It was morally exhausting, and he sees them worshiping a calf, and he's like beside himself. He can't believe it, and he loses his strength, and boom. What? So why would the Rashbam do this, though? Why would the Rashbam go so far afield from the
pshat? To get him off the hook that he smashed God's tablets.
Right. I think the Rashbam was trying to get Moshe off the hook. How could Moshe break God's luchot? It's crazy.
Rabbi.
No matter how angry you are, you have to control yourself. The Rashbam says, yes, that's why I say this. Oh, Hashem. Thank you, Sandra. Yeah.
The thing is, for 40 days,
nothing, presumably,
nothing, or
right?
Energy or whatever.
Protein bars.
At the time he was carrying the tablet, he was full strength. And then all of a sudden, Hashem drained the strength out of him, so he could no longer carry the
Okay, that's possible, but you're going far into interpretation. That's possible. That. God took away his strength, whatever, that's possible.
How does the Rashbam rationalize? It says he got angry.
Right, so it could be that he got angry, and because he got angry, he got weak, but he didn't throw that.
Can I
try but I think the Rashbam is I think the Rashbam is far afield from shot.
You're right. The root Shin Bet Resh means to break. And although in modern Hebrew it's not that way, in biblical Hebrew it's binyan piel is the intensive. And we read it as the intensive.
Right.
Bishaber.
Right.
Which doesn't mean, he dropped him, he broke him. It means he shattered
right.
him, he smashed him.
Right. Okay, next. Let's look at the... Yes, Daniel.
I just had a question as to the word vayashlech, though. I mean, is that the same thing as vayishlach?
No. Vayashlech, throw away.
Okay.
Vayashlech, it's your idea.
Yeah. I think the Rashbam is working hard to... rehabilitate Moshe on this one.
Yeah, give him a pass. He was giving him a pass.
Now, by the way, the Ramban does something also. The Ramban does something similar, but he sticks a little bit closer to the pshat. This is source number 3. He says, we'll just read the English. Moshe did not hesitate to shatter the tablets, for he was so angered when he saw this evil deed, he could not control himself. So the Ramban is more towards pshat, right? But he's trying to explain it. Like, it wasn't a well-thought-out process by Moshe. It was a quick emotional reaction by Moshe, and which fits a little bit better in the pshat because it does reference his anger, and it does reference that he actually broke the luchot. But he is trying to defend Moshe's activity and say Moshe lost control. And by the way, this is not the first time this is actually the first time. But if you read the Ramban, we know that Moshe from time to time lost control, right? He hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. He called Bnei Yisrael Shimuna HaMorim. He called them rebellious. Right. So Moshe was...
He beats the hell out of the shepherds
right.
in the well.
Well, no, he doesn't beat them up. No. Moshe did have a tendency, however, to sometimes lose control.
He
was right, a little hot. Right? Maybe he was a redhead. And so the Ramban, while sticks to pshat a little better, but also tries to defend Moshe that it, but what wasn't it? It wasn't a well thought out plan, right? It wasn't say, hey, what am I going to do now? What can I do best to make an impression on God or to make an impression on the Jewish people? Oh, I know. I'm gonna break the luchot. That's not what the Ramban says. The Ramban says it was like a spur of the moment act.
Just to support the Ramban, though, God told him that that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that they were worshiping the calf because God told him on the mountain. If you go to the Vinny, you started reading it. So it clearly wasn't an, oh my God, I didn't know this. and he was shocked by
right.
it.
Although, right.
So, you know, so it may have been, you know, something I'm going to show them.
But that's not what the Ramban says. The Ramban says, but although if you read the Psukim, if you go back onto page 184 and you read the Psukim, right, we have steps that Moshe took which may indicate differently than the Ramban. Vayhi kasher karav el hamachaneh, verse 19, Yud Tet, right? Moshe comes close to the camp, vayar et ha'egel hamachalot, and he sees the calf and the dancing, vayichar af Moshe, and Moshe got angry, vayashlech miyah. This seems to be a little bit more precisely choreographed, right, than the Ramban is letting on. But no, what we see in the Rashbam and the Ramban is an attempt to defend Moshe. The Rashbam is the most radical, I think, that he didn't break them at all. He dropped them. The Ramban says he dropped them, but a fit of anger, no sort of premeditated activity. Yeah, Daniel.
Just looking at the chronology of those pesukim that you just described, that Dov alluded to earlier, is if this was a pre-calculated act, why did Hashem let him go down in the first place with the luchot? Right? Hashem tells him, they screwed up and I'm going to wipe them all out.
Right.
Why would Hashem then say, here's the luchot and bring it down to them? Right? Moshe was down on bended knee saying, please forgive them, don't wipe them out.
Right.
And let me take the luchot down.
Right.
Right? So he goes down. It's not a premeditated act because
okay.
all this...
Well, it's not premeditated until he actually sees it, right? It's hard for him to... know how he's going to react up on the mountain.
You're right about that.
Right? Okay, let's look up page number 4 for a moment just to see a very interesting view by the Gemara that Moshe broke the Luchot. The actual heading on the bottom of page 1 should be broke and approved. Right? The bottom of page 2. Meaning, the first question we tried to deal with was, what did Moshe really do? And we're going to come back to that. But now the question is, if he broke them, what was God's reaction to breaking them? How does our tradition understand God's reaction? So the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, 87a, on page 3, source number 4, okay, talks about a number of things that Moshe did on his own without God's direction and the rabbis approved of, okay? Everyone see that? We're on page 3 in the source sheet. And one of them is he broke the first tablets following the sin of the golden calf. Shavar haluchot. My darish, what source did he interpret that led him to do so? Right? How could Moshe have broken the luchot? Moses said, with regard to the Paschal lamb, which is only one of the 613 mitzvot, the Torah says, and the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Paschal offering. No alien shall eat of it, referring not only to Gentiles, but to apostate Jews as well, meaning an apostate Jew is not supposed to eat from the Karban Pesach. Moshe says, this may be the first Kal Vachomer in history, right? The first, I'm not sure how to translate Kal Vachomer.
Even more so?
Right, even more so, a classical Talmudic argument in history. Moshe says, if a Jew who's an apostate, let's say only an apostate for one sin, right? Is not allowed to eat of the Karban Pesach. I'm sorry, is apostate and is not allowed to participate in the Karban Pesach, which is only one mitzvah, right? Regarding the tablets, which represent the entire Torah, and Israel at the moment were apostates, as they were worshiping the golden calf, all the more so that they are not worthy of receiving the Torah.
All the more so. Kalvachomer.
Right? Kal Vachomer, all the more so that they're not worthy of accepting the Torah. Or here it's al achat kama vekama. Right? Meaning, Moshe makes a legal halachic calculation. A Jew who's an apostate is not allowed to participate in the single mitzvah of the Paschal sacrifice, Korban Pesach. And Moshe says, okay, well then if they can't participate in that single mitzvah, they can't participate in getting the Torah, which represents all the mitzvot. So I have to break it. So I'm going to break it. Because I have to stop them from getting it. Because they're not allowed to have it. They don't, by the way, this is very different than, totally different than the Rashbam and the Ramban. Here, Moshe is breaking the Luchot. Why?
Because based on what he thought God wanted.
Because he doesn't think B'nai Yisrael is worthy. He has lost faith in B'nai Yisrael. Just hold on one second. He has lost faith in B'nai Yisrael. This is a condemnation. of Bnei Yisrael, these psukim. I mean, this Gemara is a condemnation of Bnei Yisrael. They're not worthy, and therefore I'm going to break it. Now, what did God think about this? And I'll get to you, Elisheva. And from where do we derive that the Holy One, blessed be He, agreed with this reaction, with his reasoning? As it states, the Gemara in the Pasuk says, V'chatavta et ha-devarim asher hayu al haluchot harishonim asher shibarta. This is the Torah reading from a fast day. This may sound familiar. When after Moshe breaks the first luchot, God sends him back up to Har Sinai and says, now you write a second pair. I'm done. I wrote the first one. Now you broke them, you write the second set, and write on them what was written on the first ones, asher shibarta. That's the key Hebrew phrase, asher shibarta, that you broke. And here the rabbis do a little bit of a wordplay. Asher shibarta, va'amar Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish said, the word asher is an allusion to the phrase yasher kochacha. Asher, yasher, yashakayach. Right? This is the root of saying yashakayach, right? When you do something. Yashakayach, good job, Moshe. So what are the rabbis? The rabbis are accepting Moshe's condemnation of Bnei Yisrael, that the Jews do not deserve to have the luchot, and that not only that God approved of Moshe. So on the one hand, you have the Rashbam, who seems to be beside himself. How can it possibly be that Moshe would break the luchot? Therefore, I have no choice but to interpret the verses to say he just dropped them because he got weak. And then you have the rabbis in the Gemara saying, no, not only did he break them, but God approved that he broke them because Bnei Yisrael does not deserve them. Okay, Elisha.
So what was the point of lugging them down the hill? Why the theatrics of breaking them?
Well, it could be that Moshe wanted to see for himself. Right? Ah, by the way, there is a Gemara. Thank you, this is great. I didn't put this Gemara in. I actually cut it off one of the Midrashim in Shemot Rabbah. The Gemara says, God told Moshe that they're worshiping the calf. Uh-huh. And Moshe said, I want to go down and see for myself. Shh, shh, shh. And Moshe says, I want to go down and see for myself. And so the Midrash says, what? God tells Moshe. And Moshe says, well, I appreciate your testimony, God, but I want to see for myself. And the Midrash says, from there we learn that no matter who gives you testimony that someone has done something, you cannot judge them unless you see it for yourself.
Even God.
So that's the rabbi's way of answering your question, right? Moshe sometimes defends Bnei Yisrael, mechenina misifrecha, right? If you don't forgive them, wipe me out of your book. And other times, he seems to condemn Bnei Yisrael. So at least in this case, Moshe said, "I want to see for myself." Okay, good. It's a good question.
On the luchot, and then there was
luchot. That's what the psukim say, and right?
It was
that's
Moshe's,
the
engraving, so it wasn't so.
The second time around, we say it was Moshe's engraving.
Really, I mean, what's the
pasuk? The pasuk says, "Maseh Elokim." God, you have a different You have a non-literal interpretation.
Did Moshe really know what was going on downstairs when he was on the top of the mountain?
Well, the rabbis tell him the Jews have strayed. I'm sorry. The rabbis say that God, the Torah says that God told Moshe, the Jews have strayed.
Did he tell them
they built? They built a pesel. They built something, and Moshe says, "I want to see for myself."
Look on page one.
Okay, let's continue. We have more to do. Okay, so one view of the rabbis is that Moshe dropped the luchot to condemn Bnei Israel. Right? They don't deserve it. They're apostates. They don't deserve the Torah. Now look at this beautiful midrash. This is, not drop, broke. Again, I have to fix my sheet. It's page number 3, source number 5. That Moshe broke them, but not to condemn Bnei Yisrael. Moshe broke them to protect Bnei Yisrael. Listen to this. And here's where this midrash comes in hand. I have it in Hebrew for you in the source book, and in English on the independent page that I gave you. And it starts on the left side, page 526, 6 lines up from the bottom, where it says, Moses saw that they had sinned, right over here. In the single sheet, Moses saw that they had sinned. Ra'a Moshe shechatu v'shiber al aluchot. Moses saw that they sinned and he broke the tablets. Mashal l'sar. This is one of the great attempts to defend the Jewish people. Mashal l'sar shenatal isha. This is can be compared to a prince who took unto himself a wife. V'katav lak tuba. And he wrote a marriage contract for her. Unatna biyad hashovavin. And he gave it to one of her intimate friends to keep it for her in trust. In the course of time, evil rumors, right, that she was unfaithful, I guess, right, started circulating about her. Ma asa hashoshevin, what did her courtiers, right, or what did her friends do? Kara et haktuba, they tore up the ktuba. Amar, what was their reasoning? They said, mutav shetehe nidonet kipnuya v'lo ke'eshet ish. If she's already going to be unfaithful, at least let her be judged as an unmarried woman, maybe just engaged, right? As an unmarried woman rather than a married woman. Kach asa Moshe. So did Moshe do. Amar, im ein ani mishaber et haluchot, ein li Yisrael amida. If I don't break the luchot, meaning if I deliver this package to them, they have no chance of surviving. Shenemar zoveach lelokim yacharam. He who sacrifices unto the gods, save unto the Lord only, shall be utterly destroyed. Right? You worship other gods, you're out. God wipes you out. So, ma asa shibram. What did Moshe do? He broke the luchot. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo hayu yodin mahaya katub bahem. Right? For this reason, he broke them, saying to God, they knew not what was written therein. I mean, this is beautiful, right? Talk about the Rab Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev persona, right? The famous Hasidic Rebbe who always went out of his way to defend the Jews, right? The famous story of Rab Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev walked out of shul one day and he sees a Jew with his talis and tefillin on oiling the wheels on his wagon. And all the Jews are yelling at him, how could you be oiling your wagon during davening? And I believe Levi says, you have it all wrong. Even while he's oiling his wagon, he's davening, right? And so here Moshe goes out of his way to defend, right, the Jewish people. So he breaks, right? And this is a big risk. Moshe takes a huge risk. He takes God's handiwork. I know, Shula, you don't like that so much, right? But he takes these luchot that God made, and he breaks them. Why? Not to condemn them, like the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat said, but to defend them and say, well, they never got it. They never knew what was in it. You can't condemn them. It's a beautiful midrash.
I like it.
It's a good point. It's a legal. It's a legal defense. He's the first Jewish lawyer.
It's your grandfather's.
One of many.
It's too far fetched.
More far fetched than the other one that Moshe's condemning them. For you. Okay. So now, by the way. So now. What now? Now, listen. Now, if you thought it's far fetched, now it even gets more chutzpahdik. Moshe's not done. Now, what does Moshe say? Davar acher, another option, or I think it's like a continuation of the same thing. Va'ere v'hinei chatatem l'Hashem Elokecha. God sees that they're sinning to him, right? He sees that they're worshiping a golden calf. Ra'a she'en l'Yisrael amida. Moshe realized that God, the Jews have no hope of escaping total destruction unless I do something radical. Moshe linked his future with the Jewish people and broke the luchot. How does he? Why, when he breaks the luchot, does he link himself with their future?
Because then, if they don't know what's in it, they can't.
Well, that's the previous one. How does he link? Right, they sinned, and then he sins, and I sin. Amar l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe says to God, listen, heim chatu v'ani chatati. They sinned by worshiping the golden calf, and I sinned by breaking your luchot. Im mochel ata lahem af limachol. If you're going to forgive them, then forgive me also. And then he says, v'im ein ata mochel lahem. But if you're not going to forgive them, al timcholi, then don't forgive me either. Ella mecheni na misifrecha asher katavta. Wipe me out of the book. So the first example in the Midrash is nice, right? Moshe there's no indication there that Moshe put himself in any danger. But the second explanation of the Midrash, right, really raises Moshe's level as a leader, right, to incredible heights. He's willing to put his own life at risk, right, in order to save the Jewish people. And the only way he could save them is if he sins and then tries to bargain, right, his righteousness, right, on behalf of the Jewish people. It's really an amazing Midrash. Yes, you have a question?
No.
Okay. Okay. So that's a really I think an incredible midrash.
Who says this again?
That's the Midrash Rabbah.
But if it comes about Moshe's wisdom and personality and leadership, that it turns the story from what I think it is to being about Moshe and his personality and his leadership and him.
It's still about their sin, but now once they've sinned, what's the leader going to do, right? This is about, this midrash is a lesson on what the leader does when his people have sinned. And does he jump ship or...
go down with the ship.
But how is it a sin if you follow that logic? They didn't know what they were doing.
No, that you're right. The second half of the Midrash is working off the understanding that it was a sin. Correct. Yeah. Because they, like you said, maybe that's just too far fetched for them. They didn't know that they weren't allowed to worship another god. Yeah, could be. Okay. Because they. Okay. Now, by the way, number six I've already discussed with you, right? That Moshe drops the Luchot to condemn Bnei Yisrael. Rashi quotes the Midrash, we had already learned it earlier, to condemn them, and if even an apostate's not allowed to participate even in the Paschal sacrifice, how can the Jews be worthy of getting the entire Torah if they are worshiping another god? I just want to look at the two other approaches that, we would call that maybe, we would say that Moshe broke them to protect Bnei Yisrael, and now we're going to move on to another suggestion that Moshe broke them to educate Bnei Yisrael. Right, and here we turn to the Netziv on page 5 of the source book, the one that looks like this. For all of you watching at home, okay, the Netziv says on verse 19, where we've read Vayashlech Miyadav, and he hurled. Right, that's the way we've been translating it. The Luchot. I've already explained in my commentary on the book of Devarim, chapter 10, verse 17, Shelo hayaha ashlacha kimate et yadav, right? He is now taking on the Rashbam. This is not like someone who just removes their hands, right? And vinofel, mashabahem, and whatever happens to be in your, like you're carrying the television and you just let go, right? Saying that's not what's going on here. Right, Ella shalakham biyadav, but rather he took the luchot in his hands. It's almost as like you picture cradling them, and now he takes them in his hands. Right, shalakham biyadav v'hishlich bekoach. Right, the way we understand the verse, and more importantly, the way Charlton Heston understood the verse. Right, he throws them with strength. That's what's going on here. Now, listen to this. Let's look at this carefully. Look at verse 19. There's something very, very subtle that the Netziv picks up on. Let's see if we can pick up on it. Vayhi kasher karav el hamachaneh. Moshe gets near the camp. He's right at the outskirts of the camp. Vayar et ha'egel u'machalot. And he sees, or he has to get close enough to see what's going on. So he sees the egel, the calf, and he sees the dancing. Vayicharaf Moshe, he gets angry. Vayashlech miyadav et haluchot, he throws them. Vayashber otam and breaks them. Tachat ahar, which is at the foot of the mountain. So the Netziv, there's something about this pasuk that gets on the Netziv's mind a little bit. Anyone pick up on it? It's very, very subtle. Maybe too subtle.
At the foot of the mountain that he's all the way down?
So he's...
It says the pasuk starts off on the cradle.
Right. So Moshe's in or right at the camp. And we know that there's a distance between the camp and the mountain. They're not allowed to come too close. So he comes into the camp, or right at the foot of the camp. He looks, and then what does it sound like he does? It sounds like it goes back to the mountain. So what's right? What, that's what it, that's well done. That's what the Netziv says. Question is, why? Why does he go back to the mountain? So let's read the Netziv. This is really fascinating. He says, "Vigam haya ba'ofen shehivinu hakol shelo b'derech hateva naseh." By the way, he throws them down, so it's clear to everyone that this is not a natural thing. He didn't just get weak and drop them. Vayashber otam tachat ahar, and he broke them at the foot of the mountain. Lo hishlicha miyadav biyoto b'machaneh. He doesn't throw them down in the middle of the camp. Ella b'chari af, rats b'chazara, in anger. He runs back to where he started from, back to the mountain. El hahar, v'sham hishlicha m'shavra.
Maybe he just was getting away from the mess, and only when he got there did he decide, that's it, I've had it, I'm breaking them.
So why do you so he's in the camp, and he runs back to the mountain
with
the luchot, and drops them there.
As if they never were already down.
Ah, so it's interesting. So maybe he'll claim I never entered into the camp with them. But I think what the Netziv is saying is this: he's making a spectacle out of this. He wants everyone to see this. If he does it in the camp, only the people who are right there see it. He goes back, takes a few steps up the mountain, right? And everyone sees him up there, and then he breaks it, right?
What if he was, this is really fun fish, but what if he was taking them back up to give them back to Hashem?
Oh, that would have been very cool.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That right, right. That's another possibility. But here, the Netziv, right? But the Netziv says, no, he took them back up the mountain, and he could have taken them back up the mountain because he wants everyone to see this. Again, this is a like almost like a polemic against the Rashbam. He doesn't want anyone to have any doubt that he broke them.
Yeah, but
right, he wants to be clear. I am strong enough to carry them all the way down the mountain, into the camp, look around, see what I don't like. I still have enough strength to walk back to the mountain and throw them. Right, I don't want anyone to think that for a second I dropped them. I'm breaking them now. Why am I breaking them? I'm breaking them either because you're not worthy. I'm breaking them because I don't. I'm like tearing up the ketubah, right? We saw the interpretations of why I'm breaking them, but the Netziv seems to be saying clearly. Well, Moshe wanted to make a very, very clear statement that he was breaking them. Yeah.
Well, he might have turned around, like she said, thinking of going back, and when he got to a certain point, saying, "I just can't take this anymore." And
right, it could be. I'm just reading what the Netziv says, though. Yeah.
Well, the Netziv can tell that makes if you look beyond the bracket of language, though, he goes on to say, "Shel Yisrael lechot bo sheharei od lo matzu
l'mam
avor agvul." So he's saying, he's suggesting also he went back to the mountain because he didn't want, it's more like a condemnation. You don't deserve this. And because this is the word of God, I don't want you to pick up the pieces and pull them back together.
Right, okay, right. Because he went back across the boundary where the Jews were not allowed to go. Right. It also could be that maybe he went there because he didn't want anyone to stop him from breaking the luchot. Right. If they see in his anger in the middle of the camp, he starts picking up the drop, and they're all going to, you know, they're going to gather around him and say, "No, no, don't do it." And they're going to like, you know, try to catch it underneath. But he leaves them. And it says that he will have total freedom to do whatever he wants with the luchot. Again, making it clear that he wants to break them and making it absolutely certain that he's going to break them. Right? He doesn't take any chances. Okay? Finally, we'll see the Meshach Chachma on page 6. This is again, why did Moshe break them? Right? What happens? What's the point? So you see the fact that they're worshiping the golden calf reminds Moshe still that the Jewish people have not yet learned the lesson that God's holiness, right, cannot be contained in an object, right? God's holiness is only contained in God. And so it's interesting. Moshe now uses the luchot to make a statement against the egel. Right? You think that an object could contain God's holiness? Look at this. God made this himself, and I'm going to break it like it's nothing, because in and of itself, it's not holy. Right? Objects in and of themselves aren't holy. If we act in a certain way, then they could have holiness. But in and of itself, this isn't holy, and you don't deserve it because you don't get it. You don't understand that God, I'm not holy. You were nervous that I wasn't going to come back. Okay, I wouldn't have come back. Someone else would have led you. But I'm not God. And now, so you built the Egel. The Egel's not holy. You know what else is not holy? This stuff. These two pieces of rock, they're not holy. And so he breaks them, right? I am not holy, I'm just a man as you. The Torah is not dependent on me. Even if I had not returned, the Torah should have continued in my absence. The sanctuary and its utensils are not intrinsically holy. Their sanctity derives from God's presence in our midst. If you sin, these objects lose their holiness. Even these tablets of testimony, the word of God, are not holy in and of themselves. Their sanctity derives from your relationship with God and your willingness to observe his law. Now that you have sinned, these tablets are mere stone, devoid of any sanctity. As proof of my point, I shall shatter them before you.
And now you understand why some misnagdim don't kiss the Torah.
Right, exactly, right.
So they
don't what?
Wait a minute, this is something...
Kiss the Torah or kiss the mezuzah, because what are you...
It's not holy.
It's not holy. I mean, it is holy, but you shouldn't revere it.
So you put two you should,
to like
it
that.
Very,
yeah.
I don't do it.
You don't.
Yeah, Elisheva. No, they're put in the Aron Kodesh.
Oh, right.
Right, we say Luchot, Luchot v'shivrei Luchot munachim ba'aron. Uh-huh. Right, that the Luchot and the broken piece of Luchot are in the Aron.
So,
right.
Yeah, so
which
they're not holy.
Ish.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. It's a good point. Okay, so there you have it. Various approaches as to why was a good thing, not a good thing for Moshe to break
why
the Luchot.
Why is a hole?
It's not that it's not holy. It is holy. But when you there's a concern that when you kiss it, you're losing sight of the fact that it's the message that the mezuzah represents, which is really important, not the mezuzah itself.
You know, you have to, you know.